the full complement. I divide it into what he calls, Ignatius calls, the 4 weeks. First week, concentrating on the purpose of our existence, on sin, the need for expiation, and as a consequence, doing more for God than we would have done had we not sinned. Two words should always be associated in the spiritual life: sin and more. Having sinned in the past, we are to love God more than what? More than we would have had we not sinned. The second week concentrates on Christ's both hidden life at Nazareth and especially his public ministry in Palestine. That's where we are now. Third week, the Passion. Fourth week, Christ's resurrection and his risen life for 40 days, visibly before his ascension. For several meditations now, we shall concentrate on Christ's both teaching and his actions. As a prelude to an ocean of what we call Christology, our present meditation is on Jesus, the rock of the spiritual life. There are two versions in the Gospels. The one I shall quote is from St. Luke, chapter 6, verses 46 to 49. Luke 6, verses 46 to 49. Christ begins, "Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and not do what I say? Everyone who comes to me and listens to my words and acts on them, I will show you what he is like. He is like the man who, when he built his house, dug deep and laid the foundations on rock. When the river was in flood, it bore down on that house, but could not shake it. It was so well built. For the one who listens and does nothing is like the man who built his house on soil with no foundations. As soon as the river bore down on it, it collapsed. And what a ruin that house became." So far, St. Luke. What is Christ speaking about? In context, he is comparing two classes of people, both of whom hear his teaching. But one carries through, puts into practice what Christ has taught, and the other listens may be personally even inspired by Christ's teaching, but does not put that teaching into practice. Christ assumes in the lives of all of us there will be opposition, there will be temptations, there will be trials. Then the question is, who will survive? In St. Matthew's version, we read, rain came down, floods rose, gales blew, and hurled themselves against the house. The first house stood firm, the second collapsed. Why? Because the first house was built on rock, the second was built on the surface, on the soil, and collapsed. There is more than passing reason for Christ teaching us what he did. I believe the first lesson that this teaches us is that to become a follower of Christ takes time. It's like building a house. I remember I had just pronounced my first vows, my third year in the Jesuit order. I've been reading books in the spiritual life, the lives of the saints, kept looking at myself, shook my head. My gosh, what am I doing? Conferred with the spiritual father, I'll never forget, John, you are still in the kindergarten. Me, a college graduate. Yes, you're still in the kindergarten. It takes time. Time for God's grace to achieve what only God's grace can do, even assuming that we cooperate with the grace of God. But then we go on. It's still one thing to build a house. It is something else to make sure that the house stands. I gave a Holy Week retreat in San Francisco. People in California hear regularly about quakes. They are so accustomed to it. It's like a weather report. But all the predictions are, come a day, when, maybe not, that maybe what we call California will collapse. Applying this to our spiritual life, It simply is to be assumed that to serve God faithfully, to do His will, and let me tell you, the more faithful we will strive to follow Christ, the more generously we resolve to do His will, the more the devil and the world, I don't say will or might, but do conspire against us. That's a law of the spiritual life. In other words, the floods and strong winds that Christ refers to are no mere figures of speech. They are real. And whatever else we learn from this Wednesday night, kind of late, by the way, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and a Sunday morning retreat, we should learn to steel ourselves to the inevitable storms, floods, even hurricanes in our lives. I might have used words something like this 30 years ago, but what a difference, between the meaning and the words themselves. It is real. Unless we are prepared, and that means prepared, building on rock, like so many. You don't lose 8,000 priests to the priesthood in the United States. You don't lose 90,000 religious in the United States. You don't lose 62 parishes in Chicago. You don't lose 42 parishes in Detroit without a reason. This is the reason. Every other explanation is a fable. It's a fable. Only one. Strength of faith and being prepared to meet the floods and the winds predicted by Christ for those who are to follow Him. We may say, following Christ's figure of speech of the two houses, one built on sand, the other built on rock. Both, we may say, are equally well built, but only one survived. In our spiritual life, we must expect and that verb expect, in the way in which I mean it, implies misunderstanding criticism, temptations, opposition, rejection, coldness, persecution, envy, selfishness, go down the seven capital sins. What is the secret of perseverance? It is building on rock. And then, and that's what this meditation is all about. What is the rock? In Christ's own words, the rock is Himself. He who comes to me and listens to my words and acts on them. Each part is crucial. He who comes to me, who listens to my words and acts on them. He who comes to me, during my 5 years stay in Kalamazoo, Michigan, while teaching at the State University there, Kalamazoo, I learned how to spell the city's name. The last syllable is Z-O-O, Kalamazoo. Not a big town. 23 psychiatrists listed in the telephone directory. He who comes to me, how spontaneously, naturally, and without a second thought, people will turn to anybody and everybody and pay good mazuma instead of first coming to Jesus Christ. And listens to my words and be sure they are the words of Christ. It's found in Scripture. It's found in the teachings of the church. And it's found in the almost daily, surely weekly, statements of the Vicar of Christ. But notice, doesn't just hear my words, but listens to them, and finally acts on them. What does it mean to come to Christ as our rock? It means that to remain firm in our spiritual life, in our loyalty to our Catholic faith, we must come to Christ with our hearts, which means with our wills, in love, by listening to Him, with our minds, by faith, and acting on His teaching, by putting what we believe into practice. I brought ample charts with me. One of the problems, and a grave one, in today's society is that There are so many competitive voices in the world today. And sadly, so many of these voices are allegedly the voices of Christ. No small issue this, to know who is speaking with the authority of Christ behind him. Who? What author? What book? What magazine? What diocesan paper? What parish bulletin? And this is where either we have access to the authentic teaching of Jesus Christ, or all the exhortations of building our spiritual life on the rock who is Christ, is so much pious rhetoric, but will not bear the fruit that Christ expects of us. Never before through exaggeration this, never before has there been greater need for knowing where to find authentic, honest to God, Catholic teaching on what to believe, how to live, what to do, what not to do. People I know traveling 30, 40 miles to get to Mass and hear a homily which will be consistent with their Catholic conscience. Only the Lord knows where the crisis in the Catholic Church will end. All I can say is that the role of the laity is paramount for the future of the Church, especially in countries like ours. And that is why no option We simply must know where to find authentic Catholic teaching. Read it, study it, meditate on it, and then share it with others, because as Christ has been telling us, it is this rock on which our lives must be built.